Can you imagine a world in which gender roles are reversed, potentially, especially as you see our cultural shift and what's happening out there? And I came across a very unique video from a 14-year-old that I just think her message is, it's a profound message, really, and for a 14-year-old nonetheless. Ella Fields is her name, and so she was assigned to make a short film as part of her participation at the Cinematic Arts Academy. This is a school in Los Angeles now. And so, you know, you remember those projects you used to do as a young person. You're thinking about, what are you passionate about? Where do you want to go with this thing? Well, and I quote what she says, is one of the first things that popped into my head, young Ella says, was gender stereotypes and how I truly believe that anyone can wear whatever they want and how colors should not have any gender associated with them. They're just colors. It's like everything else in life, right? Now, she's a ninth grader here. And so the resultant project was called Stereo. It's described as a film about, again, reversed gender stereotypes. It kind of caught on. A lot of these things tend to go viral. But there's a message here very, very clearly. And she says, I mainly just wanted to raise awareness of how stereotypes are meaningless. Girls can do anything boys can do. And boys can do anything we can, too. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Wow. And on that message, let me introduce you today to our co-host, because these are four women who probably would say they could do anything that I can do. So, Taz Thornton is here. She's a best-selling author, UK's number one inspirational breakthrough speaker. Jenna Smith is a psychotherapist, a coach, a human being expert. She's the creator of the You Are the Manual self-development program. Shauna Peters is here. She's an inner world explorer and guide. And Dr. Faye Wilson. Dr. Faye is an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, and underdog advocate. Ladies, so this story was, you know, there's a message here. It's like when your baby, let me go to the quickest thing that comes to mind, the most common denominator in all of this. When your baby is born, so if it's pink, it's going to be what? And if it's blue, it's going to be what, right? So it's pink and blue, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And you're not supposed to mix those two, right? Is that the way that story goes?
That's the way it certainly
goes. Purple's a good color, so you know why not?
Well, the color that they would try to use in place of pink or blue, I finally started to see some years back, was purple. Purple became that alternate color I seen people sort of using when they kind of didn't want you to know what it was. Yeah. But I guess we define those roles. Taz, this is a perfect question. I want to open it up with you, love, and just talk about this. Well, this pink-blue kind of thing. You come from a unique vantage point yourself. So the whole pink-blue stereotype, but it's like that with everything in life. But there are some limitations. Are there not, Taz, or is it all just open?
Oh, well, of course there have got to be some. I mean, I struggle to pee standing up for starters, so there's one, you know. But in terms of the colours, you know, one of the reasons that I went for this bright pink hair and pink in my brand is, if you go back far enough, I used to hate pink. The idea of wearing pink used to flip my stomach.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it was so associated with that kind of fluffy and woolly and walking around with a little posy of flowers and
Now let's tell folks, in case they don't know Taz, so if you're just tuning in, you don't know Taz has pink hair. She has she has a pink harem of stuff in her life. I mean, it's everywhere.
I do, and it's this really bright kind of cerise pink.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons I flipped it. There was that. Plus I was seeing so many kind of the kind of guys who look like the kind of A-type, masculine, big old muscle guys who were suddenly starting to wear powder pink shirts because they're at ease with their sexuality, and that, oh, there was so much BS out there about the colour pink. So that's one of the reasons I flipped it, that, okay, I'm absolutely not your stereotypical girly girl. Yeah, I wear skirts in the summer sometimes, of course, but I'm not your kind of stereotypical 1950s flowy, skirty, girly girl. So, right, I'm going to reclaim pink, because pink doesn't have to say flimsy and woolly and skipping off to ballet class. It just doesn't. And it's the same with blue. For goodness sake, they are colours.
They're
colours,
yeah. Well, it's like a lot of things. So you tried to redefine pink then, Taz. You were going to redefine it by your terms, more or less.
Absolutely, yeah. Redefining me, yeah.
Right, so I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And if there is, screw it. That's my choice.
I love it. Well, that's exactly it. And so the pink became your thing, like the pink hair, the pink look, what have you. But it is interesting how we take these things, though, in life. But as I think now of gender, and I think of, like, we had a lot of boundaries in the militaries. The military at one point was just men. And then women got into the military, and then it was, well, they can't be in combat. And then they got in combat, and then they can't be officers, and then they're officers. And then, you know, then there's this whole struggle of transgender. Should they be accepted in the military? And where does that fall? And there's a lot of this going on, even with the kids and the youth. And Jenna, you can speak to this. I wonder how this meshes with this, because one of the big conversations I'm hearing a lot today, and that the schools are doing this, and I don't know that this is necessarily good for society and for our culture as well, but they're really confusing what a boy is and what a girl is in many ways. And now there are many groups and organizations who want to use symbols, and they want to use, there's some other word like it, or some other word they're coming up with, Jenna, where they just want to, like, they don't want you to be able to put your gender on your licenses.
Right.
And that's become a big thing now. What is going on with that?
I saw the word non-binary.
That's it.
One thing. And, you know, I can speak to that. I'm not sure what your question is. Like, what do I think that will confuse children?
Well, I that's one question, sure. I mean, you can come up with 25 questions, but yeah, is this the right direction?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think that human beings are, I'm a human being expert, right? So ultimately, I think we need to get to the point where we can look at humans and see humans. So disabilities, races, gender, like across the board, that's my take on that. Will that confuse children? I think they've seen past this the whole time. Like, you've seen all the other videos where the boy's like, but I want to wear that, and the girl's like, but I want to play with that, and they don't understand why they can't. Like, they're coming, I think the younger generation always comes to this world to blow up the BS and be like, what's that about? Can I do this? Like, if I am a really, really strong woman, like, not meaning like I'm a strong woman, like I physically can move very heavy things. Like, I'm very capable. I don't want to pull people out of a burning building, but I could more than potentially a male. And so I believe in equality. Like, if you can actually do the job.
If you can do the job. Yeah.
You know, don't do it. Don't get the job. I don't like getting a job just because you're male or female or black or white or something.
Well, there's a lot of that out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that.
That I don't agree with. I think that's ridiculous. If you're genuinely like the best, then yes, like absolutely. So for little kids, I think if we're building another society, like we're trying to attempt to build another society where there isn't so much gender roles, and then there isn't these teen suicides that we do these shows about, you know, if they're unable to express their true self, that's soul crushing. That leads to those things, you know? So a little bit of confusion's okay.
Yeah. But when they're young like this, I think there's a lot of mixed signals in elementary school and primary school where, and I'm concerned with what they're teaching. Dr. Faye, speak to that, please. I mean, we've talked about the education system, but when you look at that, you know, I hear what Jenna says, if you're going to be a fireman or you're going to be a football player, I mean, a quarterback or that kind of thing. I mean, I get all that. And there are separations with all that. I mean, there are some things. Our bodies are built differently. Men, they're different. Yeah. Their structures, their DNA, their style, their abilities are different than what women are. Men can't have babies. You know, but women do have babies, and you know, now what if that was reversed? Of course, that video we looked at didn't go quite that far, but I thought of that when I watched that video, Dr. Fay. I said, well, you can bring
just
that all the way
up to...
Just have
to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It would be painful. They say a kidney stone is like that. I don't know. But in any event, you know, what is it with this thing, Dr. Fay, and with the education system? How do you feel really about it? Do you feel... Coming from your vantage point, do you think it's there are no rules of the road and anything goes, and our schools should teach that?
No,
you know,
no, I don't.
Talk to me. I kind of thought you might say that.
I don't believe anything goes. When I saw the video, I thought about, and a little child shall lead them. You know, here we have a 13-year-old that is so insightful for her to be able to create a video like that with a message, a very strong message about gender roles. And so when we look at the educational system or the way we raise our children, because many parents already have the nursery before the child even comes and is blue or is pink, I ask myself the question, why do I like pink? When I thought about this show, I thought, why do I like pink? Do I like pink because I really like pink? Or do I like pink because I am supposed to like pink? Or somebody told me I need to like pink because I am a girl. And all girls should like pink. And then I decided, no, that's society. That's culture. That's what somebody taught me to like. Mm-hmm. I get to choose now. I get to choose whether I like pink or hate pink. I get to choose brown or beige or whatever color I like. I think that we need to take a look at what we're the message that we're putting out there, that you have to be a certain way because you're a girl. Because I am a girl, I choose to be what I want to be. And that should, there should be no boundaries for that. Mm-hmm. How, so in whether it's education, home, community, church, wherever it is, the message should be that all women and men are created equal.
Sure. There's that. I get that, the created equal. But again, this whole thing about you're a boy, you're a girl, and or you're not, or you can use a symbol, or you can use another identifier. Which seems to be in society everywhere now. That seems to be what I'm hearing. I mean, there's a lot of overlays here of this conversation about equality. You know, you can get into this in many different facets here, but yeah. I'm talking at its simplest possible mode of, okay, you know, teaching the kids, Shauna, like the boys and the girls, that they are who they are, like that boys are boys, girls are girls. Are we mixing that up a little bit in the schools now? I mean, now that this whole thing is out of the bag and everybody's talking, you know, about, you know, again, my kids, they know more about transgender stuff today than I ever knew. I mean, I was 20 and I didn't know about what the transgender movement is. My kids know everything about it.
Malcolm, I think, let me just share this quickly, if you don't mind. I think it just depends on the region, the locality. I believe that people, that children in California are being exposed to different things than children in Arkansas. I don't see it in my nieces and nephews in the school system.
You don't
here.
See it there?
Oh, no, either do I.
No.
Wow,
that's
why. Interesting.
No, really, because in here in rural Canada, no. That's not going to happen
no.
for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's very conservative, very traditional type of education. Yes, there's a lot of places where it needs improvement, but at the same time, I don't see that mixture of children coming and being and are getting confused. My nieces and nephews are not confused. I mean, if my niece wants to go out and play football, she can. We tell the nephews to watch her, make sure she doesn't get hurt. I mean, you know, she knows she's a girl, and we put certain things in front of her, but she gets to choose. Her dream is to become a firefighter. No one has ever said to her, girls cannot be firefighters. We will not use that language with her. She can get fire trucks if she wants. Yeah.
Can I assume, I mean, women are firefighters, are they not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's not a restriction, is it, that I know of? No,
that's not a restriction, but traditionally it has
well,
been.
Well, of course, you know? I don't see a lot of women firefighters running around. I don't. You don't see a lot of that. So I had to think a minute.
I don't
to think.
See a lot of firefighters running around, actually, unless there's a fire.
They're just brilliant, Jenna.
Running around my neighborhood.
You're brilliant. I knew we had you here for something that you. So, well, that's
you know,
just good.
Malcolm and ladies, I was just at an event called CEO.World, and it's about redefining women in business and funding female adventures because. The you know the rich white men thing, right? Like that whole thing, all the men at the table not understanding their vision and not understanding how they work. So there is a validity to women act a certain way, men, I mean, all of that's true. I work with people of that all the time, but it's about the freedom to do what you want to do. But she was saying this one woman scientist, she's the only woman scientist there, she has to wear a lab coat to sort of cover that she has breasts just so she can, you know what I mean, not feel so awkward. And that is, and she's a confident woman. It's just, she's doing what she can to be the best profession. But the amount of girls before the age of, I think 8 or 9, and they just already decided they're not good at math or they're not good at science, and they don't even consider working those muscles to explore. Are they good at computer coding? Are they good, these sort of, you know, girls do this, boys do that. I think that's really what we're looking at here. Not so much the sexuality. They need to teach that in schools 100%. This is what you need to do.
Well, it's good
woman.
To hear you say that. Now I'm wondering now. Now, Shauna Peters, you always surprise me with some of your answers, and you look at things a little, which I enjoy. You look at things a little differently than some, which I also think is very cool. So now you hear all of this being discussed, and Jenna, you just hit it to me a bit here, because we're not trying to lose the identity of the fact you are a girl, you are a boy, you know, in the schools, like I say, in the education system, where they seem to be. And there's a lot of views the educators are pushing on the kids, and sometimes they're not really the views that that we want as parents or that society should have. And I just hear a lot of this, Shauna, now, like I said, where they don't no longer want to admit or acknowledge that they're a boy or a girl. That somehow, and it gets, we had this whole bathroom conversation here as well, like you can use the unisex bathroom, and if you had your sex change, you can use this one or that one. It became very complicated, this whole gender thing. Boy, it really got complicated. But how do you see it now, and listen to the group set this up? Do you fall in line with a lot of this thinking, or do you are you going to take this off on another planet?
Well, I think, you know, what Jenna was talking about earlier, there will be some confusion. I think generally in the world, the stage of sort of, I think we cycle through the years, and I think we're in a stage of breaking up what's old, and that's necessary. And so I think there is going to be more confusion. I actually think there's less confusion in children than there is in adults about the whole thing.
Really?
And it will, I think, settle out over time, maybe not in our lifetimes, but that's a very natural cycle and progression, that things have to break up and then they have to sort of solidify and be more peaceful for a while. So I just see it as part of that flow. And I feel that that's necessary for change, for health. It's just, you know, if you look at nature, that cycle happens all the time. And so I think the same has to happen with our ideas and our cultural, our cultural norms.
See, nothing gets you rattled. You're just the gal sitting out there on the beach with a cocktail in her hand saying, yeah, baby, you can do it. You can do it. Yeah. I mean, nothing gets you rattled with society. You always come out with some big answer, Shauna, that kind of makes sense. And then you scratch your head and say, is it really that simple?
It's simple and complicated together, I think. I mean, there's theories and then there's living it out day to day. And some that's where you have to really challenge yourself, you know. And I was thinking about this. This is another issue of where we've really had dualistic thinking. And we each have sort of our areas where we like to challenge that, you know. And but we need to say, hey, I need to look at what other people are suggesting, as this is a problem with dualistic thinking. This might not be my issue in life or one that I'm really rah-rah about. I need to continue to challenge that in myself. That creates peace in yourself, and that ripples out into the world.
Okay. All right. What I want to do is I want to promise everybody as well, let me not forget to tell you this, If you're hearing this on talk radio, you want to see that video. It will be attached to the show post when that goes live on America Out Loud. Or if you're catching this on podcast or through Apple or iTunes or one of the podcast networks, just go to AmericaOutLoud.com, look up this show post, okay? And you will find the video attached to this, this whole message we're doing, which is really, and this is entitled, A World in Which Gender Roles Are Reversed. So it's really about gender roles kind of being reversed. There are some real lessons that come from that video. Like Dr. Faye said, it's interesting because you have a 14-year-old who did this video, and it's amazing how we can learn from the kids. And I hear you ladies talk, and you're kind of saying that as well, Shauna, in your very simplistic, beautiful way. You say, "Hey, chill, man. You know, this is the next generation is going to figure it out, and they're not as insecure and screwed up as you think they are." Well, that's good if they can stay away from some of the big adults who are kind of messing the program up a little bit. Maybe they'll have half a chance for the next generation. Well, it is kind of amazing. We always get upset about the generation, like, what's going to happen? Oh, they're out of control. Mm-hmm. All these kids mm-hmm. today, what, this generation's going to hell? And yet we always figure it out, this species. Isn't that the truth, ladies? You know, it really,
I think
though, think about
why
it.
That's why we
know?
Only live until 100 at
I
most,
know.
Because they just got to rinse and repeat. They just got to
rinse and
no.
repeat.
Like,
yes.
we've got
to. It's like, yeah, that dippity doo da here, do I know that I know it's rinse and repeat. You're right, Jenna. You're right. Mm-hmm. Because if we were living longer, can you imagine how much more we would screw it up? Well, they kind of did that back in Genesis, didn't they, Dr. Faye? Listen, yes. More life, liberty in just a moment here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, so we're talking about these gender roles, and again, a lot of layers here, a lot of layers within this gender business, but you're hearing a lot of the ladies say today, listen, the generation will figure it out. It's not as complicated as maybe us adults are making it be. Maybe it is that simple. I don't know. But I'm hearing a lot of noise. I guess noise is the right word, noise, within this gender sort of thing. I my view, Dr. Faye, is probably not too far different than yours, I think. But in the way that I want to teach the children traditional values. I want them mm-hmm. to understand the boy and the girl. And I, you know, that's all. I think that's healthy. That's good. That's society. That's where it comes from. But then from there, I don't think we should have a lot of barriers beyond that. I don't think it's up for us to tell right. people who they are or what they should be. And I think yeah. you probably agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. I believe it's individual self-empowerment and giving your children the tools that they need for life and inspiring them and motivating them to be the best that they can be in whatever profession that they choose, and help them to understand that whatever they decide to do, that they deserve the respect, the honor, to be and to do that, as long as, you know, it's within those legal parameters and moral parameters, and give them those tools and trust the process. And I think I've heard that through Shauna and through Jenna.
Right.
Trust the process, that it's going to work out fine. The generations before us thought that about us. You know, that we were all going to
tell you
hell
what they
in a
thought about us,
handbasket.
Girl. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, you should have heard my parents at the dinner table. I mean, I heard that more than once here. Jenna, shine some light on, when you look at this video as a whole, this really cool six-something-minute video, which is really worth watching here. You loved it. I loved it, too. I mean, everybody loved it. I knew you ladies would really. I said, this is, like, so juicy. Once I throw this out at you all, you're going to just chomp on this thing. And just because it's well, it's just so central to our conversation here, Taz, in so many darn ways. When we talk about equality and we talk about people being able to do what they can, and we talk about empowerment and we talk about inspiration and we talk about really you being your unique character, we really mean that. Now, we don't mean that we want to confuse everybody, but we really mean that you can be and do all of those things. I hope it's not a mixed message, Jenna. I want you to take a look now, Jenna, at that video from your mind, and what's the biggest lesson and takeaway? And I'd like all of us to kind of go around and talk about it. What's the biggest lesson you take that 14-year-old was telling this generation?
Oh, like the biggest takeaway, and I think everyone looks at it through their own lens, was the ability to express yourself and be who you are, and a little bit of screw what people think of you. Like she did the things, like she's like, okay, I'm sad, she's very sad, and then, like, you know, withdrawn and looking down, and then sees this dress, and it's like, I believe in following what lights you up, and I think most of the ladies will believe, like, that which lights you up is an indicator, it's for you, like, it's nature, it's like, I'm a honeybee, I'm gonna go to the flower, like, we have that natural wisdom within us calling us to what we're here to do, if we have all of our needs met and all that kind of good stuff. So to me, it was like, I'm going to paint my nails first. Like, I'm just going to try this on. Oh, I do feel better. Oh, I am going to go get that thing. Like, to me, it's about the gender roles that come between us and what we're here to be and do and express. Mm-hmm. And that is everything. Like, I just think this is such a great video. And she really pulled that out. And it's like, everyone's, you know, making fun of her and taking pictures. And she's like, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, like, I'm just going to walk up. When she first does it and she's really insecure and she's like, oh, I really want to, I don't know. And everyone like, oh, you're an idiot, you're this, you're that. You know, how much do we talk about mental health? How much do we abandon what lights us up because someone might think we're stupid? Mm-hmm. Like, to just go through that and be like, this is what lights me up. This is who I am. And then eventually you're celebrated for it. Eventually.
Well, who can speak to this point that you put out there right this moment is Miss Taz Thornton. Taz, you can relate to everything Jenna just said because you went through this in your own life in a very personal way. But in the way she just described that, I mean, you know what that's all about. You know what those feelings are because you said to everybody, I'm going to do it my way. Shut up.
Yeah, I did. But it took an awful lot of pain to get to that point. It's interesting. I was delivering a talk last night to a group of business owners, and the title of the talk was Turning Your Can'ts Into Cans. And there was such a wide range of businesses in that room, but still adults, you know, sheepishly putting a hand up saying, well, I've always wanted to do this, but I didn't believe I could. Or it always comes down to two points. Either people think for whatever reason that they don't have the ability and they're not good enough, or, and this is the biggest one that stops all of us, whether it's to do with, you know, gender stereotypes or anything to do with that spark that lights us up, is we don't do something because we're afraid of what somebody's going to say. We're afraid of being judged. And very often it's to do with what our parents will say, what our peers might say, what our co-workers, what our family might say. And certainly I've had a few of those. You know, I've had family members going absolutely completely against me in the choices that I was making with my life. But what stood out for me most in that video was, yes, the courage of the girl in that video, but also that it shone such a spotlight on the fact that the things that are screwing us up and making we think that we can't is the adult generation, the grown-ups who have been conditioned throughout the generations before and before and before. You know, if you go back far enough, you know, there was a time, you know, you can look at this in history, some of our most treasured vintage, if you like, authors who are women had to publish under the name of a guy because women weren't allowed to write books. Look at where we are now. And it's not just gender, it's everything. And I think Shona was so right earlier when she said that the kids will get it right. You know, I have a friend that I know through business who comes on some of my courses at the moment, and she's been through a situation where her little girl got to her kind of early teens and realized that actually she was a boy. And they've gone through this whole transition where she's left one term as a girl and gone back as a boy. And of course, we were all really worried about how it was going to be perceived and how he would get on with his classmates. But kids have got it. You know, all the adults were worrying and the kids are kind of just shrugging and saying, OK, what flavour pizza are we having for tea? And the thing you say about traditional values, Malcolm, I think you're absolutely right. But for me, I don't know how everybody else feels. I think we've got to be careful with the phrases we use, too, because since kind of politics has got involved now, when I hear somebody say traditional values, I have a little shudder because it's been used as a mask for all kinds of... I say phobias, but a lot of the time, you know, to quote Morgan Freeman, it's not a phobia. You're not afraid you're being an asshole, you know? We've got to be so careful with the words that we use.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear when you say that, where that phobia comes from. And, you know, and again, you've lived it on both sides of that conversation in your life. So you've seen it firsthand. There's no doubt. But Taz, when you're at that moment of life and you can't be your authentic self and you really can't be who you want to be because of all these stereotypes, because your parents said certain things, because the generation is going to laugh at you, just like the little girl in the video who she like you said, Jenna, it was like, well, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. Whether you laugh or not, it doesn't really matter to me. She was determined. She was set on a goal and she was going into audition, even though women weren't supposed to do that, and then women weren't supposed to. She reversed it all. They in the video, she didn't wear dresses and skirts and things like that. She didn't wear lipstick. She did the role of the men, so she was playing the guys. Oh, but I really want to wear that dress, and her mother would always remind her, "No, you can't do that, little Sally Q." You know, so it is very interesting in that way. But I see that we're not doing a good job, I think, as adults. We're not really, and I think a lot of it's because so much has happened. Like, Shauna, when you say, well, the next generation will figure it out, yeah, we figured it out. But so much has happened. You talk about thousands of years, Taz, like the change over the millennia. Mm-hmm. But we've had, like, radical changes in the past couple of decades, ladies. I mean, we've gone, like, from, you know what I'm saying? We've gone... Really, on the odometer, we've gone from 0 to 60 miles an hour pretty fast. Could that be part of the problem?
It could, but let me just pick on that point. You started to go there a second ago, Malcolm, you've been there, you get to that pinnacle, and then what do you do? I think the other thing that struck me about that 6-minute movie is that the girl in that manages somehow at that age, and hats off to her, manages to stand in her own power and say, hey, this is me. It reminded me of a really similar movie that was out, I think, 2013. And it was a similar scenario, except the whole movie was based in same-sex couples being the norm and kind of heteros being the demonized ones, if you like. That was the way it was portrayed in the movie.
It
had a really sinister undertone because there was another girl in that who liked a boy. It flips everything on its head. But whereas this 6-minute movie we've watched had a positive end, that other movie had a real darker end. It ended up with the child at the end trying to take their own life. And I think this is what we need to be aware of. It's all right as, you know, arguing the toss over what's right, what's right, what's wrong, what's seen as too left, what's seen as too right, you know, boys and girls. But we need to remember that we have very real hurting human beings in the middle. And it's rare to find somebody like the girl in that movie who can find the, let's say, ovarian fortitude to stand in her power. You know, I had to get to the point where I was suicidal to stand in my power. And we need to remember that. We are killing people with our with our overpowering opinions.
So true. I see there's a trend. It's when there's a lot of pressure in the world, there seems to be a pressure in understanding roles and identity. I thought about during World War II, where the women's roles were redefined, and then the 50s, all of that happened, when the men went off to war, the women had to go to plants and begin to make the ammunition so that they could send those. It just seems that's when the world is in crisis, the roles are redefined. And yeah. we are in a crisis around the world. So roles are being redefined. And yeah. I don't know what that outcome will be, what girls will be doing, what boys will be doing, because we can obviously fly a plane or do whatever we want to do as far as business and as a profession. But the way we are treated and looked upon by society and by men, even women, you know, those roles, to say that because I have a uterus, I can't do certain things, or I should be paid less or be considered for certain roles and not others. I think we have a long ways to go in that area.
I think we need to remember also, though, that there are going to be guys out there feeling that I can't do this because I have a penis. Exactly. You know, it's both ways.
Exactly. Yeah. And remember, there was one time where the woman stayed home to, there was a stay at home mom. Right. Now we have stay at home dads who were doing an awesome job.
But they're not looked at. They're not looked at probably fairly, as you say, Dr. Faye. You know, they're, you're, a lot of them are ridiculed. That's what Taz is saying. Yeah. She, with the stay at home dad, I'm saying, you know. I know a couple like that, and they're not always looked at in a positive way.
That's because it gets confused with those men who stay at home and allow the woman to work because they don't want to work. So we get confused with that, because there are a number of those that are going on, but not every man who's staying at home is actually a deadbeat or irresponsible guy. Some are there and running home-based businesses and taking care of the home while she's going out, and that has become acceptable in certain sectors of society. So, you know, we're growing as human beings, and as we grow, we're going to be able to shift our consciousness. If we get stuck, then it's going to be a mess. But thank God we still grow.
Oh, we get stuck. Yeah. It's going to be a mess. I like that.
You know, it just requires a little more of you. It requires you to step into your humanness more fully. Mm-hmm. You know, when we are, you know, pain isn't, and it was an amazing catalyst. When we step into those emotions that have been shut down for so long, we can start to feel empathy for others. We can feel our own hurts. Mm-hmm. And we start to access our spirituality as opposed to it all being dictated to us. Mm-hmm. We step more fully into our humanness. And that's what's required here. Instead of seeing people as roles and boxes, which is easier mentally, we need to just start seeing people as people. And, you know, living in a role in a box, like Taz was saying, it's so, so painful. It doesn't matter what role or what box you've been stuck in by somebody else. It hurts. Like, think of those times in your life, even if it's not related to what we're specifically talking about today. It just kills your soul. And so, you know, I kind of liken it to driving here in Costa Rica. Like, okay, when I'm in Canada, you know, it's like a 2D driving experience. Here, it's 3D. It just takes more. You have to be alert all the time. Mm-hmm. There could be branches that aren't trimmed. Like, somebody could have knocked a wire down and can hit the roof of your car. Or, you know, it's just a much more alert experience. It requires more of you to be living out in the world. And I see it the same way, as we're trying to like accept humans as they are.
It would be great if we had a manual for how to be human.
Well, Jenna does. Jenna has a
I wrote that book.
your wish is her command. Dr. Faye, go ahead, Jenna, speak about that manual.
Well, I mean, really, it was just that we all have feelings, we all have minds, we all have bodies, we all have a connection to something bigger than us. It's just like, let's just take all the other crap out of the way and like be human. Like, we all have that manual within us. Like, that's essentially what the book is. And then when we really own that within ourselves, we can learn how to navigate the haters and the just, we have a whole other level of resilience when we really step into who we really are that way. Like, okay, this is how my mind works. Okay, this is how emotions work. And to speak of emotions, actually, which is a good point with gender roles, like using emotions, all humans have emotions. And so there's this like, women are emotional, but men are emotional. They just get ragey. You know what I mean? Like, we all get emotional. But just to just break it down, we all have all of these components. We're a global family. Like, we are more like than not. And we all have our separation, but fundamentally each human being has their own manual within them because we were born with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a future that I see in my mind. I'm listening to all of this great, great dialogue here. I mean, you all are so on top of this conversation, and it actually gives me a lot of hope in hearing everybody and the way you put it out there. But I'm thinking of the big takeaway here is even more than the video, obviously, and the gender roles being reversed. The big takeaway is the fact of what where Taz hit it earlier, which she always is on this point. We are too darn judgmental, okay? And our overpowering attitudes and opinions, we try to push on thy fellow man, you know? And so that's where the real contest, I think, comes in. Because you can, like I said earlier, there are many layers to this conversation, right? There are a lot of layers. Mm-hmm. You can size this up in a lot of different ways. But I envision somewhere ahead, when I said earlier, boy, you know, is it because we've gone so fast here, Shauna? When I said, wow, it's because we've gone from 0 to 60 miles an hour, like, because we've created so much progress in the past many years, like, that took hundreds mm-hmm. and hundreds and thousands of years, right, to get there? Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, that could be what's unsettling or feels a little uncomfortable, but I think you can see right now, that, and I know a lot of the older generation are really upset with this gender thing and the transgender thing and the gay movement and all of the things that have happened. They just don't see that as part of their conversation, their narrative. They have a hard time with it. Mm-hmm. But the more you hear the conversation, if they would listen into what you all are talking about now and really understand the fabric of all of this, here's what I see ahead. I see a world ahead where whatever we end up being hundreds of years from now, that all of these stereotypes are broken down finally, that the boxes are gone and removed, and we really aren't really pointing at people anymore. And Dr. Faye, you're always an optimist talking about, you know, what that future looks like, right?
Right.
So think about that now. I think there's a future world. If we're taking these steps right now, Dr. Faye, and we're moving this thing along as we're doing, I think it's going to be quite fascinating ahead, because I think there is hope at some point that humanity will discover that none of this stuff really mattered in the big scheme of it. And the fact that we could wake up one morning to begin to judge other people when really we got enough on our own plate to worry about our own lives and to have opinions about everybody else's. But then, you know, Dr. Faye, you can get into the comedians and you can get into people who do this for a living, who make fun of people. And that's, it kind of permeates through society. And then political power and the way we, you know what I'm saying? All of this is kind of front and center. And it all feeds into our mindsets. You see, in you know, the fabric of our daily lives. We take this in all the time. It's hard to separate all this love. It's hard to push this away. So you know what? I'm not going to be involved in this conversation. I don't like it.
I think a lot of that is just distraction from what to get our minds off of what's really important.
Big time.
And it's an evil force at work to keep us bickering and picking at each other and judging each other, criticizing each other, whether it's race, gender, whatever.
All of it.
It's to keep us off focus. And when we can just focus right in, focus back in on what's really important and what's really valuable. And that is that person, not what they're choosing to do or to be, but they are the most valuable. They're valuable because sometimes people don't feel their own worth. They don't feel that they are a treasure.
That's right.
And I think it's up to us who have grown just a tad to be able to pour that into them, to say you're worth it, you're valuable, and that your life does have meaning.
Mm-hmm. And well, we are not distracted here, and we're going to be back with you in just a moment. The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. The thing in life is, if you follow your passion, if you're really doing what you want to do, you tend to get really damn good at it. You see, because you're enthralled in it. You're putting your whole being in there. And when your whole being is into what you're doing, by golly, the success metrics skyrocket, ladies. They skyrocket.
Yeah.
You know? right? As compared to, you know, just living an average life. So I think the authenticity factor is what I get out of all of this, from the whole thing of this 14-year-old to, you know, you think about, too, how many lives this 14-year-old, now this thing is approaching, I think it's around a couple of million views now, they say here. Can you imagine how many lives have been impacted by watching this video that this, what I'm saying is this 14-year-old being authentic and who she was changed lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's out there for forever, you know, so that people can take that message that's inside of that. I thought about when you used the word authenticity and how many people really don't grasp the fullness of what that means. It's kind of a buzzword amongst those of us, you know, who hear it all the time and not really think about that it's really meaning the deeper meaning of it, to be transparent, to find out who you really are, aside from what culture has said, aside from even your race, your denomination, even what your parents have said, who were you really, you know? I thought about this scripture. It says, train up a child in the way he or she should go. Many parents don't really get to know their children. They get to look at them as if what I want you to be or what they want them to become or didn't we do a show, Mini Me or something, to be a model of what they didn't become or to live their lives.
There's nothing sadder, Dr. Faye. There's nothing worse than that. I mean, that's a life unfulfilled, a life unlived. Taz, you speak about this as an inspirational speaker all the time. Let's get engaged with authenticity. Let's put some thoughts out there to help people become their more authentic selves and to live that full life. And then Jenna and Shauna can chime in here. And by the way, I was just reading the chat here before we came on here, and I love the fact that Dr. Faye said she was going to get pink hair. This is really, really cool stuff here. She said,
you
how would I look?
Need to get us both on that stage, Mel.
Oh, man, that's going to be hot, I got to tell you. I wonder how I would look in pink. I know, pink hair. And she likes purple instead, so now she's going to do purple. I like it.
Hey, that's part of my brand, too. Go for it.
That's it. So, Taz, lead us a little bit here with your brilliance and authenticity as people. How can someone out there listening experience that real life? And then I'd really like, because this is like so far up your alley, you and Jenna and Shauna, it can all chime in and Faye can, let's help people out here. How do we do it?
Okay, well, first, let me just speak to one of the points that Dr. Faye made, which was that authenticity has become a buzzword. It has. In fact, I wrote a blog about that not too long back. I wrote a column on that. That so many people now are using authenticity as a buzzword that a lot of people have started to diss it. It started to get a kind of bad vibe around, oh, yeah, somebody else saying they're authentic. And the key for me on that is, don't tell me you're authentic. Show me.
Exactly.
You know, there is a world of difference between talking about the power and the importance of authenticity and somebody saying, I am authentic. You shouldn't ever need to say that you are authentic. And here is where we, thank you. Here's where we fall down. This is one of the points I was making last night. In our society, we are so conditioned to just do what our parents have told us that we should do, follow what society wants us to do. You know, we get spat out of the education system and then are expected to go and, you know, work for someone else and then gradually work up the chain and then retire. And hopefully we'll have a couple of years to spend in the house before our hips give way and we can't move anymore. You know, it's all wrong. But when we start to look at who we are, those who are stuck in that kind of societal bubble, that societal straitjacket I've talked about before, they start throwing at us things like, oh, that's selfish, that's just navel-gazing. BS. It's not selfish. The most unselfish thing you can do is get to know the truth of who you are, because it's only when you spend the time really getting to know yourself, inside and out, warts and all, that you can bring about change in the world, because then you can start to change your world, and that gives other people the power and the inspiration to perhaps change theirs. And when we know who we are, then the opinions of others can't hurt us because we know the truth of it. So that's really it. Don't tell me you're authentic. Find out who you are and then show me your authenticity.
Amen.
Well, the people who say that are typically phony, Jenna. They're typically, Faye, you and I had this conversation the other day that people go around saying that they're not racist.
Right.
You know, I'm not racist. I got a couple of black friends.
Yeah, this on your t-shirt.
We got t-shirts we're going to sell. I got black, I got white
you
friends.
tell me you're not racist, you got a problem,
I
you
got a
know?
couple of Asian friends, but I'm not racist, I assure you. Go ahead, Jenna, shut up.
Well, I love it, Taz, and I'm sure all of us are going to say something fabulous. I love the show me, it's who you're being. And I don't think I ever say I'm authentic. It's just I'm being me in the world. And that took a long time to get to, because before I was like, who do I need to be for that? And I'm hyper vigilantly looking at people's faces and figuring out. And so many people do that. They spend all of their mental dialogue and presence on this planet figuring things out in order to be accepted. So I believe if your heart is beating and you're not being flung off the planet while it's going however many miles an hour in the universe, that you matter. Period. Yeah. Done. Your heart's beating, you're breathing. Done. Just the same way as that tree over there matters. I mean, society has a big issue with actually respecting the life form on the planet.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other show, isn't it?
Exactly. But just why not humans? Why can I, this was my big turnaround. Why can I look at a waterfall in awe and be like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And not look at my heart beating, my digestive system, my brain, my uniqueness, my skills, my talents.
Yeah.
In the foibles, you know what I mean? It's just this universal neutral worthiness. Done deal. Yes. So you're worthy. If that's so, tune in, whether that means, it doesn't have to mean meditation, because that's another overused word. It doesn't mean thinking, it's just sitting in a certain pose that makes you uncomfortable. It means tune in. Just go from outside to inside, check yourself out, and journal. To me, those are those two fundamental things where you're developing self-relationship. And then the third point would be being a self-anthropologist. So what does Jenna do that makes her her? What lights her up? What does she like? What makes me the best me? And write it down. Write it down. This works for me. This doesn't work for me. This, and then let your people know. And you'll be seen. You'll be heard. You'll be received. People will know you. You'll know yourself. That just leads to a whole foundation of a successful life that anyone can do.
I love self-anthropologists. That's beautiful. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah,
that's good.
Jenna works
I might
up,
steal
so
that.
Talk to her.
Jenna, when I grow up, we want to be ahead. Like you, love.
Only with pink hair.
Yeah, with pink hair. That's it. With Jenna with pink hair. That'd be cute. Go ahead, Shauna.
It can happen.
What Taz was saying earlier about how, tuning into yourself, and some people will tell you, well, that's navel gazing. That's a luxury. That's a waste of your time. I was just doing some reading on that this week. I was just this brilliant woman, Bethany Webster. I just enjoy her work so much. And she was talking about exactly that in her article about how it's when we see that as a luxury and irrelevant to life, how we have been living so far into the masculine, so out of balance, so far into patriarchy. And so I think that is literally the process to pull this back into balance. And just like Jenna was saying, knowing who you are, that brings you into balance, peace inside you. It brings the whole world into balance for you to do that work. And, just as both of you have said, I had to come to that point in my life where it's literally so much pain to get me to accept that. And I don't think it has to be that way, but go out and find people who've done that work, even if they're just a couple steps further than you. Spend your time around them, sit with them, and you will see that change and that process in yourself as well.
When you really are yourself, you shine. Number one, you shine. And number two, you stand out from the crowd, ladies. You see? The crowd, I mean, there's a lot, and I take this from school, from junior high school forward, really. When the kids were all doing a certain something and you didn't, become a follower, follow everybody else. And that's how you got into trouble as a kid too, right? Because you became a follower rather than a leader. So I think a lot of these lessons come right back to the schoolyard. And that's a blessing. I was just really, really blessed. And just, I always knew who I was. I never followed. Even as a young boy, I didn't follow. So that's why I never got involved in drugs and the rest of it. I stood out. I was, when you talk about a speaker, Taz, like Pink here, like you, and I've got, my own problems with white blonde hair. So, but you know, I stand out, and I didn't need that to stand out. I stood out because of the conversation, and I stood out because I was being truly myself, being unique in who I was. You don't need to make apologies for that.
There's a phrase that pops up on social media every now and then. It always makes me smile, and it goes something along the lines of, "Beware of following the masses. Sometimes the M is silent."
Oh, there you go, love. Definitely a group of asses. Yeah, well, they're sheep. Sheep. You can't follow the sheep, you know, right? Mm-hmm. That what we call them, Shauna? Sheeples? Right? Yeah. Sheeples.
That's a good one.
Can't follow the sheeples. You gotta stand out and be the herder. Be the herd. Herder. Herder. Is that a herder, guys, ladies?
I'm gonna herd. It is now.
I'm gonna be the herder.
Well, I don't know if I would try to herd the sheep, but just herd myself is enough usually.
Well, because
if you herd yourself enough, the sheep will follow anyway.
I want to take a couple of moments here, and I want to tell all of our listeners, I just want to step back a moment here and tell everybody about this program, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And you're hearing these, truly amazing women on this show right now. Listen to the wisdom. When you get this much intelligence and you get this much wisdom and the coolness of all of you. So my hats are off to all of you today. I just need to say that and get that out there. I don't know if I can get a chance to say that. And damn it, I was going to take 3 or 4 minutes today to say it, ladies. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Malcolm.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I mean, you ladies kick ass every day. I mean, you're just amazing on this show. I just truly am so pleased to have you here. I want all the folks to see the light shines bright here, friends. I want you to know that we're in this for all the right reasons, to advance the conversation. I always say advancing humanity. It's a thrill for us to bring all of this to you and really balance the scale of all the craziness out there and all of that, because there is a lot of that out in the world. But you know what? We're going to balance that with a lot of this great converse here. Just keep checking in with us here. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And please check out the ladies, Taz Thornton, Jenna Smith, Shauna Peters, Dr. Faye Wilson. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.